In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them.
We have been listening and singing about the Jesus who came and was recognized as a very important prophet, as a sign of God's presence, and who preached the kingdom of God. And the narratives of the Synoptic Gospels lay out for us not only his principles, but also who God truly is and how we are to encounter God in our daily lives. Now we shift gears, because now we are turning to John's Gospel. And John's Gospel presents a mystical Christ, not a historical Jesus. This is the Christ who is transformed and whose kingdom is transformational. A Christ who not only died and rose, but a Christ, as John is going to say at the very beginning of his gospel, exists in the presence and the being of God from God's very beginning, which has no beginning at all. And so to understand fully the creation piece that we are about to read, go into that place where there is nothing. where there is no creation, where there is no light, where there is nothing except God. And John writes this to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came to be. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Those who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of humankind, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, as many times as we celebrate this day and the birth of Jesus, I am always reminded that we have yet to discover and recognize who God truly is. Because God is mystery, and unfortunately, through the Enlightenment and through all of our rationalities, we've been able to silence the mystery within and around us. Because we are so convinced as human beings that to understand something is to know it is to grasp it is to control it. And so our quest for knowledge has certainly brought about many, many, many wonderful things that have benefited the human race and everyone else that the human race touches. We certainly have found ways of living that have brought us comfort and peace, that have given us great opportunities, moments and great memories, joys, delights that we have shared, as well as a handful of challenges and a few things that sometimes baffle us. But the real world in which we live is one that we own. And I think we own it because if we go back even from religious perspective to the book of Genesis, one of the most dangerous phrases in the book of Genesis is when God says, "I give you dominion over all of this." And we took it seriously, and we've been dominating the world ever since. And we've done a pretty good job. However, there's something that has been missing for most of us, if not for all of us. Because our focus has been, if you go over history, our focus has been to improve the quality of life, to somehow make things better for people. And that brought great things. But it also led to systems that make it good for some people and maybe not so good for other people. And that's become pretty much something with which we are comfortable. And we go back to Jesus who said, you know, the poor you're going to have with you always. And so even we Christian people have lost sight of the mystique or the mystery that is God. And if you're like me, I've spent all of my life in church and religion. And I'm 71 years old. And I know that most of those years in church and religion, even from this vantage point for the last 45 years, I still seek to know the experience of God. I know a lot about religion, and I know a lot about how to do religion, and I certainly have had a lot of experience around the idea of God. But having an idea of God, brothers and sisters, is not knowing God. An idea of God is in my head, and I control what is in my head. To know God is to be out of control, to be in a very dangerous place that makes all of us very uncomfortable. We have been schooled to fear or to block out what we do not understand. We label it as wrong or evil, or we demonize, or we make terrorism out of it. But we do not accept what we cannot control, and what we don't understand, we cannot control. But from the very beginning, John's Gospel says, in the beginning was God, the mystery. And before anything else existed, using our word existed, God was, and God is, and God will always be, whether my intelligence grasps it, whether my religion leads me to it, or whether I give myself over to it. He came among his own, and his own did not recognize him. The God that Jesus proclaims is a God that goes beyond the stories of the gospel to a God who is so involved with who we are on this earth that, in fact, listening to this gospel, the universe, as it still is expanding, and as we are coming to see in that universe how really, really, really insignificant we really are, that universe is the heart and core of God. And the very air we breathe is God. And the very life within us is God. And the ability to reach into another life in love is God. There is no human experience. There is no human event. There is nothing that we do, brothers and sisters, right on down to the ordinariness and the boredom of our breathing, that is not a part of God. And so the Christ that Christianity supposedly upholds and says, this is who our God is. The Christ is that universal experience of the overwhelming mystery of God, over which we have no control, and yet to which we are always going to be drawn. Isn't it interesting how crisis brings us with a new openness to the possibility of the mystery? Isn't it interesting how crisis will bring nations together? And suddenly all the lines and the walls and the barriers that existed and all those things over which we warred are all gone. And all that is left is the mystery. Our culture is hungering for it. And I say that very simply because if you look at what entertainment is doing in the world and the world of literature these days, there is more stuff about things that are mythological and things that are not controllable and images of huge, vast powers that are in jeopardy and jeopardizing the people of the world, and we are all struggling to find our way through and looking for the hero, whether it's the Hunger Games or the Lord of the Rings. We are all looking for the mystery. And we know the mystery is there because we cannot even reveal our true selves, our real inner selves, to another person, because the mystery is too vast to control. We are always in the process of becoming ourselves. That is why the Jews always had that wonderful gift of shalom, to welcome the stranger and to say shalom, which was their way of saying, may you be everything God intends you to become. Which is another way of saying, may you live in the mystery and not deprive yourself of the power that has been given into our hands because of this Christ. That power is a light in the darkness. That power is a gift by which we transform not only ourselves, but our world. You and I are the light in the darkness. And the darkness is brightened and dissipated by our openness to that mystery and our willingness to share that with each other. We don't need commandments. We don't need rules and regulations. We don't even need dogmas to know who we are and what we are called to do. All we need is to open ourselves to the mystery. Mary's an example of opening yourself to the mystery. So many of the holy people open themselves to the mystery. For brothers and sisters, you have opened yourself to the mystery if you have ever reflected on your life and come away with even just a bit of wisdom. Because the wisdom of God is the mystery that lies within us. That wisdom is the dialogue that calls us to be brother and sister, that reminds us we are one person on this earth and keeps us always conscious of how insignificant so much of life is. Our focus is God. In the language of the computer age, set God as your default, so that every search you do goes through that default. Then you are opening yourself to the mystery. Then God will come as light to the world around you. On this holy day, in celebrating truly the birth and the explosion of God in the Christ, we wish you all the blessings that God offers. And we pray that these days will truly be for you healing, a balm for your hurts, a delight with those you love, and more than anything, a renewal of your openness to the mystery of God, who will continue to reveal God's self to each of us. Amen.